is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, who is on vacation, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. It's the 3rd of July. Tomorrow, the fireworks will be exploding, the watermelons will be cut, the baked beans will be taken out of the oven, and people all over the country will celebrate freedom. I'm just glad to be out of the pen, or to be not in the pen. I was in Texas this past weekend and had some friends who left me a gift basket there and had all kinds of items in the gift basket. One of the things that they left was a Welcome to Texas deal with some bullets. And I thought, you know, that's a great little souvenir surprise to bring back to my kids. And there are three of them, just enough for the three oldest kids. So I just threw those bullets in my bag and took off. Not thinking about the fact I'd be boarding an aircraft and that the Transportation Safety Administration doesn't want bullets going onto an aircraft. And I have to tell you, I was sweating bullets there when they went through my bag and said, "What is this?" But at the end of the day, I had to say, you know what? I'm glad that we've got the kind of country that has the resources to make sure that people don't get onto a plane with real bullets. And people don't get onto a plane with a real gun. Make sure that you have a country that is big enough and prosperous enough to make sure that I'm safe on an airplane. And beyond that, to make sure that the country itself is safe, relatively speaking, from attack. To grant us the kind of freedoms that we have in the Constitution to live and to move as the church the way that we do. But what I want to ask you today is this Sunday, what do you think we ought to be doing in church about that kind of freedom? Well, what should we be saying or singing or dramatically reenacting in our churches about Independence Day, about patriotism? Is there a place for patriotism in the church? Should we have patriotic services, sing the Star Spangled Banner and God Bless America and My Country Tis of Thee? Should those types of things be part of our worship as the people of God? Or should we instead say, no, let's leave the patriotism to our life as citizens, and let's instead, when we come into the church, be citizens of a heavenly realm? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Do you think that American Christian churches overdo patriotism? Or do you think, no, we ought to celebrate our freedom in this country just as we celebrate our freedom in Christ? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We're going to have a couple of gentlemen on in a few minutes, a theologian and a pastor, who have very definite opinions on this issue. But I want to hear your opinion. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Should we have patriotic worship services in our churches? But first, let's turn to the news. Wall Street Journal has today an article about that infamous Pew study about evangelical Christians and their beliefs about God's activity, so-called, in the other world religions. It quotes Dr. Mohler in this article and several others as well, dialoguing about what this means. And the closing paragraph, the closing line, is from one of our guests on this program in just a few minutes, Dr. Mark Dever, pastor of the Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington, D.C., who says he's not worried about it at all. He says when he sees these kinds of surveys saying that there are people in evangelical churches who say all kinds of people are going to be saved whether or not they believe in Jesus or not, Mark Dever says, well, he doesn't feel alarmed about that. Jesus promised the church will win, Mr. Dever said, so there's no crisis. He's going to win. We'll hear what Dr. Dever has to say about Jesus' winning as it relates to patriotism and to patriotic services in churches in just a few minutes. Also in the news, the so-called pregnant man gave birth to a girl today. Thomas Beatty of Oregon, the so-called pregnant man, gave birth to a healthy baby girl. Now, The problem with this isn't a man. Beatty told Oprah Winfrey back in April, I see pregnancy as a process and it doesn't define who I am. And the news reports are saying the new dad of this baby, this is no new dad, this is a mom. She's a mom. This is a woman who gave birth to this child, a woman who's severely confused about who she is. And what we need to be doing at this point, we see articles like this, is not ridiculing her. We need to be praying for her and praying for her child. Praying for her child that her new daughter will be someone who will come to know Christ and who will grow and walk in Christ. Also, in other news, there's a Boston Globe article that just left me scratching my head. It's about the phenomenon of kids not calling their parents mom and dad because those things are as outdated as Mr. and Mrs. Now, I knew a guy back when I was a teenager who called his parents Tim and Debbie. And it was because his parents wanted him to do it because they thought mom and dad made them sound old. And everybody in the community thought this was just weird and bizarre, and it was. But this article says that you have this growing phenomenon of people who just want to call their parents by nicknames or little pet names like Char Char or Big Ann or G-Dog. Well, one of them, Carolyn Gallen of Greenwich, Connecticut, said she yelled, "My bad, G-Dog," to her father during a basketball game to make light of an error she made. And she said, after that, we just started calling him G-Dog, and now he loves it. And according to a psychiatrist who's been invited to speak to the Boston Globe on this issue, she said nicknames are healthy because it means that children are inviting the parents into their world and say maybe they experience a little more power or equality by the process of naming you. Well, I'll say they do. They're experiencing power over their parents, of course, by completely removing any signification of authority there. I hope that trend dies. And finally, Yahoo News, the Associated Press, is reporting that a man near where I am right now in Indianapolis, Indiana, will be exploded in a fireworks display over the city of Indianapolis. He's not living. It's his remains, his cremated remains, that are going to be packed into fireworks and exploded. He died in February at the age of 74, and he requested that about a half teaspoon of his ashes be in a fireworks shell that will be specially created to burst into the air for the finale of the show set for Thursday night. And there are people from the health department there in Indiana assuring the crowds that the release of this man's ashes shouldn't harm public health. Well, there are all kinds of issues there that I won't get into right now, but one of the things that we need to think about as we think about the 4th of July is the fact that it has become, not just for an individual, a way of self-expression, it has become a way that entire communities and entire churches define themselves every year. For some churches, this coming Sunday is going to be one of the biggest days of the entire church year. You're going to have people who are going to come to some churches who haven't been since Christmas and who won't be back again until Christmas of this year. It's a huge affair in these churches. And the question is, are we making too much of the 4th of July? Is there too much of an emphasis upon patriotism and Independence Day in our churches? Should we this Sunday completely ignore the 4th of July? Should we completely ignore mention of our country and of our patriotic response to our country, or should we instead highlight it? Should we instead welcome people into the congregation and say, we're going to be celebrating our freedom in this country because we're grateful to God for it, and that means we're going to sing the Star Spangled Banner, we're going to sing God Bless America, we're going to sing My Country Tis of Thee, we're going to have people dressed in their military colors, we're going to display the flag, we're going to pledge allegiance. Do you think that takes away from our identity as citizens of another kingdom, of the kingdom of Christ? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Is it appropriate for Christians this week, this Sunday, to take our identity as Americans and our identity as the people of Christ and to merge those things together? is an opportunity for evangelism through patriotism, or when you bring the flag in, do you do something to the cross? I've got a couple of men who are going to come on the program in a few minutes who have some very strong opinions about this issue, but I want to hear from you. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Should we be patriots in the pew? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea.
Some of you listening to that makes you kind of tear up. Some of you, it makes you cringe. But what if you were listening to it in church? Is it appropriate to have a patriotic service in church as part of the worship of the people of God? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program here on the 3rd of July as we are getting ready for tomorrow's celebration all across the country of the independence of the United States of America and all of the freedoms that represents. But should we be talking about this, not just tomorrow, but Sunday? Should we be patriots in the pews and in the pulpits? I want to hear from you. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. Do you think that a patriotic service in a congregation takes away from our identity as citizens of another kingdom? Is there a way to do it? How could you recognize the freedoms that you're grateful for in this country, providentially under God, without surrendering to a sense of letting the flag replace the cross? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. But first, have a couple of scholars and Christian thinkers and leaders that I'd like to talk to today. One is Professor Stanley Hauerwas, who is Gilbert T. Rowe Professor of Theological Ethics at Duke University Divinity School. Professor Hauerwas, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
And also Dr. Mark Dever, who is pastor of the Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington, D.C. Dr. Dever, welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Professor Hauerwas, what would you say to someone who says, I want to have in my congregation this Sunday a singing of songs such as America the Beautiful. I want to have a representation of the flag. I want to have people who are members of the armed services being recognized. What's wrong with that?
Very simply, idolatry. It's idolatrous. And that the problem with those interventions within the worship is it makes you forget that the God that is referred to in the patriotic songs, pledges, etc., is not the Christian God. Our God is not some generalized blessing on something called freedom, qua freedom. Our God is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you only are made free through obedience to the cross. So just to the extent that you confuse those two gods, you are coming very close to becoming idolatrous.
So you're not just saying this is inappropriate for Christian worship. You're saying that a congregation that has some type of patriotic service is actually moving into golden calf type idolatry and worshiping an idol and not truly God.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Dr. Dever, would you agree with that characterization?
Kind of. I'm the pastor of a Southern Baptist church on Capitol Hill. We believe in the inerrancy of the Bible. We certainly do not believe in the inerrancy of civil government. We believe that civil government is established of divine appointment, as it says in our statement of faith, for the interest and good order of human society, and that magistrates are to be prayed for. like Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 2:2, conscientiously honored and obeyed, except only in things opposed to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only Lord of the conscience and the prince of the kings of the earth. That's like Peter answered the Sanhedrin in Acts 4.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to do anything that gives the impression that we are gathering fundamentally as members of a particular civic state. We are gathering on the Lord's Day fundamentally as Christians in celebration of his resurrection.
Now, Mark, would you, though, since Paul does command us to pray for kings and all who are in authority, and God also commands us to have gratitude for everything that he gives us, would you think it would be appropriate for a congregation to stand up this coming Sunday and say, during the past week, we have seen our country celebrating freedom and liberty, and we want to stand and give thanks to God that we live in the kind of country that enables us as the church to carry out our mission with dignity and quietness and freedom?
Yeah, certainly, but it's exactly because of the kind of confusions that Professor Hauerwas is warning about that I would be particularly careful about doing that on July 4th weekend. So the first Sunday that I was the pastor of this church on a July 4th weekend, I deliberately preached on the book of Revelation about how all kingdoms would fall before the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ.
Revelation
not that I'm not
13.
Thankful for America.
Right.
You know, it's not that I'm not thankful for the good things that the Lord has given us. And so we can sing God Bless America, but if we sing it, I probably won't be singing it this weekend. And in Britain, when I lived there for 6.5 years, I was happy to sing give thanks to God and pray for Commonwealth and nation.
Professor Hauerwas, what would you say to someone who says, I would feel almost as though I'm a traitor to my country to come in and say this very important part of my life, which is my faith in Christ, how can I separate that out from who I am as a rooted citizen of this country?
Ask yourself if you lived in Germany in 1934, what that would mean.
But surely you wouldn't equate the situation today in the United States of America with Germany in...
How would you know? I mean, who fought in Hitler's wars? Who were they? They were Lutherans and Catholics. They were Christians. They were deeply pious people. How would we know when we've been captured by the powers in a way that is leading us away from the gospel? When people always refer to Romans 13, don't forget Romans 12, bless those who persecute you, and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. I mean, we have to remember that.
So part of your problem with the typical 4th of July service in, say, an evangelical Christian church would be the military reference there.
Well, I think one of the great problems is Christians have forgotten we have a problem with war. I don't in any means want to cast aspersion on people who are committed participants in the military. But first of all, the church has to remind people that become conscientious participators in the military, we've got a problem with war, don't we? I mean, when does that start seeking through Christian conscience that we have a problem with war? It's not to be celebrated. It's not to be celebrated. If you want to know what a good celebration would look like to honor country, it should be mourning in the face of having to have Christians kill another human being in the name of loyalty to a country. You need to mourn that.
I wonder if you agree, listeners, with what Professor Hauerwas is saying about the way we ought to think about the 4th of July as Christians. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. Maybe you agree or disagree with Dr. Dever, who says, you know what, I think we ought to give thanks for our country, but maybe we ought to not do it this Sunday to avoid the confusions that come in with wild confusions of Christianity with something else. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
It's the 3rd of July. Independence Day Eve, you might say, and tomorrow the entire country will be recognizing in some way or another the fact that this is the birthday of the United States of America. The question today is, though, should our churches recognize that? And if so, how do we recognize it in a way that makes sure that we are emphasizing the fact that we have another citizenship? As the Apostle Paul says, your citizenship is in heaven. How do we make that clear? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. And I want to hear from you, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Do you think that your church ought to have some recognition of patriotic fervor this coming Sunday? And if so, how do you do it in a way that doesn't bypass Jesus? 877-893-8255. Professor Howard Wass, what would you do, or what would you counsel someone to do, since you say that these types of patriotic services really are representing the worship of another God? What would you do if you were walking into a local church, maybe the church that you belong to, this Sunday morning, and that's exactly what you found, the Star Spangled Banner, the Battle Hymn of the Republic? What would you counsel a Christian to do?
Walk out.
So it would be raised to that level of walking out and not being there for it.
Absolutely. That's the reason why I belong to a church that doesn't do any of that.
Okay. Dr. Dever, what would you say to a pastor? You work with pastors all over the country. You spend a lot of time with young pastors. What would you say to a young pastor who says, you know, I've been called to a church, and this church, the 4th of July service, is a really big deal in the community, and it's a really big deal in the life of this congregation. What should he do this year, first service?
Well, he needs a lot of prayer and wisdom to know how to get along with the other leaders in his church, because he can't create it himself. But I would encourage him to do what we do and make sure you have the Lord's Supper. You know, set the cross there clearly in the center of your service, of your sermon, in your pastoral prayer regularly, not just July 4th weekend, but make sure that you acknowledge and confess the sins of the nation, pray for God's mercy, pray for his blessings, thank God for his blessings. It's a very appropriate thing to do. I'm a Baptist mm-hmm. minister in Virginia. 300 years ago, 250 years ago, I could have been jailed for being a Baptist minister. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful to God that I'm not jailed for being a minister.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to praise him for the freedom of the gospel to be preached. I also want to pray for other nations. And so we, every Sunday, will pray for other local congregations. We'll pray for the gospel work around the world. We'll pray for other nations. We'll pray for the government of our nation, as we're mm-hmm. instructed to. And we'll pray for the government of other nations. So probably every Sunday in church, we're praying for the governments of 3, 4, 5, 6 different countries.
You know, I wonder what each of you would say about, I read an opinion piece today by a Christian ethicist that I rarely agree with, by the name of David Gushee. And what he argues, I think, is pretty close to accurate. I think this actually is very perceptive. He says that in many churches, that the 4th of July service has replaced liturgy, that what you see is a hunger for liturgy, and he says that's the reason why so many low church congregations spend a lot of time on these big celebrations of the 4th of July. Do you think he's on to something there?
I know David well, and I usually agree with him, but I think he's exactly right, because you need to remember the 4th of July is a liturgy. Liturgy just means the work of a people. And the 4th of July is a counter-liturgy to the liturgy of the church. That's the reason why it's just right to emphasize the centrality of the Eucharistic celebration, which is the sacrifice that ends all sacrifices. So the very fact that oftentimes the 4th of July is a celebration of an alternative sacrifice to the sacrifice of the Lord's Supper, it's exactly doing a competitive liturgy to the liturgy of the church. So
Mark,
it's absolutely right.
Mark Dever, do you think if we had more gravity to the way we talked about the kingdom of God, that these kinds of questions wouldn't be as hot in our churches?
Yeah, but I think we have to distinguish between, do our people have a knowing idolatry, mm-hmm. or is this not intended as idolatry, and can they be weaned off it?
Mm-hmm.
So I think if a pastor's listening, I think you're hearing counsel that tells you to be careful with this kind of celebration, but also try to ask what's behind it and how can you lead them out of it.
All right, I wonder what you think. Should we have patriotic services in Christian churches this Sunday? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And thank you to Stanley Hauerwas, Professor of Theological Ethics at Duke University Divinity School, and to Mark Dever, Pastor of Capitol Hill Baptist Church and friend here at Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
And your money says in God we trust, but it's against the law to pray in school. You say we beat the Russians to the moon, and I say you starve your children to do it.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. And is that the kind of attitude we ought to have about the United States of America, particularly this Sunday in our churches? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. Should we have patriotic services in our churches? I'm in sympathy with a lot of things that Mark Dever had to say, and I don't think there'd be a whole lot of difference between the way he would do it and the way I would do it. Maybe a little bit, as I'm going to talk about in a few minutes. But Professor Hauerwas, I think, is completely off base when he says that a Christian can't know whether or not he is living in a benign regime or whether or not that Christian is living in Nazi Germany. And to equate a 4th of July celebration with Hitler's troops goose-stepping, I think is really easy to do for somebody sitting in a faculty lounge somewhere, but is completely naive to the fact that the very reason that he's able to do that and the very reason why we're able to be on the radio talking about these issues and invite you to call in and dissent is because there's an American military presence. If we're not able to distinguish between American troops and Nazi troops, then how are we able to distinguish between good and evil in any arena? Now, that doesn't address the issue of exactly how you ought to do a worship service. I want to know from you. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. Should we have a patriotic worship service? And if so, how do you keep that from becoming some type of a nationalistic service that denigrates the fact that we're members of another kingdom? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. And we have John, who is listening in Jefferson, New Jersey. John, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Dr. Moore, thank you so much for taking my call, and thank you for your program and the work that you and Dr. Mohler do. I truly enjoy listening to you guys on a regular basis.
Well, thanks so much, John.
And thinking about this and listening to everything that you guys had to say, whenever I consider a question like this, I ask myself two things. First mm-hmm. and foremost is, the answer to my question, does it bring glory to God?
Mm-hmm.
And the second question I ask myself is, the answer to my question, does it increase or decrease my ability to be a witness to those that God has put in my life?
Yeah.
And the answer to the second is really taken care of if you answer the first one correctly.
Yeah.
And I believe absolutely it's entirely appropriate for us to have a patriotic worship service for many of the reasons that you've already stated. First and foremost, that the freedom to worship that we have in this country comes from the Almighty. It comes from God. It came from those who fought for the freedom that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the big mistakes that we make in America today is we try to separate and insulate the secular world from the quote-unquote godly world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big mistake. Unless we can learn how to appropriately bring the two together as they are, I mean, it's like the Bible says, we're not of the world, but we're certainly in the world. And I think that we're going to hinder our ability to witness when we try to insulate ourselves from the rest of the world around us.
Now, John, don't you think, though, there are some churches that go over the top with the patriotic worship services
You know what? I wouldn't be able to comment on that because I certainly don't belong to one.
Okay.
I belong to a church, I think, that has a very appropriate balance. My allegiance is first to Christ.
Yeah.
And, you know, in thinking about the question further when you guys were talking, I thought of my relationship between my wife and I and my relationship to Christ. And I put Christ first in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, when my wife's birthday comes around, I celebrate her birthday. And I don't think that celebrating her birthday takes away from the fact that I celebrate Christ in my life first and foremost. And
but would you congregationally sing happy birthday to her?
That's a different question. I can't imagine my church congregation singing happy birthday to my wife in a worship service, but at the same time, the analogy can only go so far.
All right. Well, thanks, John. What do you think? Should we have a patriotic worship service? And if so, how do we do it in a way that keeps our priorities right, that keeps the kind of otherworldly transcendence of the Christian faith intact in the worship service? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What do you think? Can we do this? Can we recognize, and as you're going to see in a few minutes, I don't think we ought to just ignore the fact that we have the 4th of July going on. I think that we ought to redeem that for the gospel, but we need to be careful to redeem it for the gospel. How should we do that? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. And we have Rick, who is listening in Columbus, Georgia. Rick, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
How do you do, Dr. Moore?
Doing great. What do you think about this issue?
I think it is absolutely wrong to try to blend a patriotic observance and a Christian worship service. It's just it's too problematic. We are the Church of Jesus Christ. We're not the Church of the United States. And you talk about over-the-top observances. Boy, I have seen some, and my wife and I have walked out of them.
Well, what do you think, though, about a church that says, you know what, it's the week of the 4th of July, people in our community are talking about freedom and talking about independence, and we want to say today that we have gratitude to God for allowing us to live in a country where we have the kind of freedom where we can say to you, Jesus Christ is King. Okay, would you have a problem with that?
I think we should do as we're commanded to do in the scriptures, and that is to pray for our leaders and certainly to give thanks for the freedoms and blessings that God has given us in this great nation every week.
Yeah.
I would say if a church wants to hold a patriotic observance, they should do that separately and organize it separately, invite the entire community, and not try to do it simply, you know, in the context of a worship service. I just think that's confusing too many issues and blending things that ought not be blended. We are first and foremost citizens of heaven, and I think in the evangelical church as a whole, we have lost too much of our identity as Christians and gained too much or tried to assume too much identity as Americans.
Yeah.
And I just think we've confused that too much in our evangelical churches, and we have really lost sight of who we are as believers in Christ.
Yeah, well, I agree with you on that. I just think there is a way when the whole culture is talking about something. The same way that, for instance, Father's Day comes along and Mother's Day comes along. I think there are a lot of churches that go over the top with that, deifying fathers and mothers. But at the same time, people in your community are talking about something. I think it's a good opportunity to come in and say, hey, everybody's talking about freedom. Let me tell you, this freedom doesn't come accidentally. It's providential, and we're thankful for it. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Done all over the world, but let's rebuild America first.
I hate to disagree with Merle Haggard. I really do. But it's kingdom first. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But that doesn't mean that we don't give thanks to God for the fact that we live in a society that's stable, a society that gives us freedoms to be able to preach the gospel. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. And we're talking today about the 4th of July and about patriotic services. Should we have them? We have Jason on the line calling from Covington, Georgia. Jason, what do you think?
How you doing, Dr. Moore? I just wanted to say that I think showing appreciation for America and for the freedoms that we have in a church service is fine, but I think one of the reasons you see churches going over the top is that churches, so many churches today are just looking for something in the culture to latch onto, to present as who they are as a church. It's, you know, the same reason you see patriotic services, the same reason you see Indiana Jones sermon series and iGod commercials, you know, before a church setting. It's a desire of the churches to latch onto something that the culture gets into and present that as the gospel and not what you know, Christ and him crucified.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think that if you have a church, though, that stands up and makes sure that week by week the services have gravity, that the music and the worship and the Lord's table and the preaching is centered on Jesus and centered on Christ crucified, centered on the transcendence of the kingdom and on the fact that we are marching together toward the Holy Mount Zion. If you've got that being emphasized in a church, then I think you can stand up and say, hey, look, everybody, right now this week, our culture's talking about the 4th of July. They're talking about Independence Day. Let's recognize and know that God gave this to us. And that we ought to be grateful for it. We could be Christians under repression. We could be Christians in the Roman Empire. We could be Christians under an Antichrist state. But thanks be to God, we don't have to. We can stand here with no fear of jail. Maybe our grandchildren will have fear of jail. And we'll pray that they'll be faithful Christians. But in the meantime, let's give thanks to God. That doesn't mean that you stand up and unfurl your noisemakers in a worship service. It doesn't mean you put on your Uncle Sam hats in the pulpit. But it does mean that you can stand up and say, hey, we know there is a difference between Nazi Germany and the United States of America. Doesn't mean the United States of America is holy. Certainly doesn't mean the United States of America is the kingdom of God. We recognize and know that every kingdom will totter and fall. And one day that Statue of Liberty will be buried under earth, just like in the old Planet of the Apes movie. And in that day, Jesus Christ will be king. Nobody's going to touch his kingdom. But in the meantime, we give thanks to God. We live in a free country. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.